The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
herb. Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, Tokers and Tokettes. It is Friday, June 4th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 90 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, conversation, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, where it's not a typo, it's a way of life. And in studio today, not only the Maestro Ganja John, but also Cannabis Carry. Let's start with Ganja John.
Hey, Tokers.
We are going to have a good show today. We'll say hi to Ganja John here in Cam 2. Hello, Ganja John. All right, so you've got special stuff going on tonight, don't you?
Yes, I'm going to the Cottonmouth Kings Insane Clown Posse concert out at the Portland Expo Center tonight, which unfortunately starts at like 5 p.m. Doors are at 5, concerts at 6, whatever.
Everybody needs to take a nap, get to bed early for a school night or something?
Yeah,
what's going on?
I don't know.
It's Friday. It's not a school night.
It's Friday. There's no church tomorrow.
I guess so.
But anyways, I'll be out there. Come meet Ganja John. Come meet some other normal elite.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, you guys will be out there getting signatures for legalization.
For yeah, and so if you're registered to vote, please come out. We'll probably have stuff for people to register as well. So come on out and sign the Octa campaign.
And like I said, also here in studio today for the weekend is the beautiful Cannabis Carrie joining us here, my half sister.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great today.
We've got a beautiful drive
from the coast in this morning.
We've got your family here today too.
Yeah, my ma. I brought my ma. She's upstairs, my ma. She's watching Perry Mason.
Oh, how cute. I love
it. Isn't that sweet?
That is so sweet. Well, we've got, of course, news stories to get to right after the first break. So what's in the old hopper today?
Today we're going to go to Canada. There were some raids in Canada yesterday. And, you know, I love the Canadian stories, not just because so many Canadians listen to the show, but, I mean, our struggles against prohibition kind of parallel each other in the Canada and the U.S. So we have a story about some raids that happened there yesterday. Also, an unbelievable story out of Montana. You know, it's getting towards the end of the school year, and some elementary kids in Billings had some extra summer take-home materials. Mm-hmm. We're going to cover that. And, of course, we've got a few short I don't think I have any updates, but we have a few short headlines that I want to get to. So,
all right.
All good stuff.
All of that coming up right after our first break. And, of course, also coming up on today's show, it is Rockin' Friday, and we've got a special guest joining us on the show, Ian Lloyd from In the Land of Oedipus. You know, we've played his song, Oedipus. You know, Oedipus, come take me away. Great rockin' song. He was also
song is High to Fly.
Yeah, the song today is High to Fly. That's right.
Not Oedipus.
Yeah. And we'll be talking to Ian Lloyd from New York City during at our 20 after break when we get to our Rockin' Friday Daily Toker Tune. At half past or a little later than half past, we'll be talking to Steve Bloom from celebstoner.com, and he'll give us some updates, of course, remembering Dennis Hopper, Kirsten Dunst's current trial that she's undergoing, and Be Real turned 40 this week, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And then at the bottom of the hour, we've got a cannabis conversation. I was interviewed by Humboldt Community Radio, KMUD. Liz Davidson did an interview with me, and we'll be playing features from that at the end of the show. And then we're just going to round it off with some conversations, some rant on this backlash against medical marijuana with me and John and Carrie. Stick around. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Radical Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal and host of Normal Show Live. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and I encourage you to visit MarijuanaDoctors.com to find a physician to help you obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in your state. In most medical marijuana states, patients qualify with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis, and other conditions which vary by state. Learn which conditions are covered in your state at MarijuanaDoctors.com. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, MarijuanaDoctors.com will help you find a physician online or by phone to obtain a permit for medical marijuana. MarijuanaDoctors.com is fully transparent and HIPAA compliant. Call 866-996-9333 today or visit MarijuanaDoctors.com. That's 866-996-9333 by phone or online at MarijuanaDoctors.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A major anti-marijuana dragnet in Quebec, Canada, resulted in raids at five cannabis clubs in Montreal and Quebec City on Thursday. 35 people were arrested for distributing marijuana. The Compassion Clubs distribute marijuana to those that need it for medical reasons. Police claim that the five clubs raided did not have the proper permits from Health Canada, and those arrested will be charged with trafficking, possession, and conspiracy. Canadian TV is reporting that the raid netted about $10,000 in cash, almost 77 pounds of cannabis, and of course they seized computers and records. The Canadian authorities are alleging that the clubs and some of the volunteers that work in the clubs were illegally handing out marijuana, whether you had a medical permit to use it or not. Also, recent tension has been rising in the neighborhoods where the clubs were located, with some of the neighbors complaining of long lines of customers outside of the clubs. Medical marijuana has been legal in Canada since 2001, but it is still illegal for the population at large. Former marijuana party leader Marc Boris Saint-Maurice was one of those arrested and told Canadian Radio Network by phone that he isn't sure if this is a federal government effort, but with the raids conducted simultaneously in Quebec City and Montreal, there were obviously some coordination between police departments. He thinks it is part of a crackdown on marijuana that began with the extradition of Mark Emery, who is now in the U.S., facing a five-year prison term. Saint-Maurice, who owns one of the Montreal clubs that was raided, reported that police also raided the homes of club administrators.
These Canadian raids, you know, we've got this new government in Canada, this conservative Stephen Harper government, and it looks like they want to come down hard on marijuana. We've seen how they're trying to get this S-10 bill passed to introduce mandatory minimum sentencing for marijuana in Canada. You know, it's as if they looked down at the United States and they said, gee, what was the worst possible policies you guys came up with? How can we duplicate that? And boy, they are starting to come up with that. As far as raiding these cannabis clubs, you know, Health Canada needs to have better access to medicine. You know, they are growing all of their medical marijuana in Canada at this abandoned zinc and copper mine in Flin Flon, Manitoba. Just exactly where you'd want to get your good, organic, healthy weed from, right? An abandoned zinc and copper mine. And many people have complained about the poor quality of Health Canada's medicine. So that's why these cannabis clubs are springing up and trying to supply patients with, you know, quality medicine, you know, but again, they're not handling the demand as much as they should be able to. If we got long lines of people out in neighborhood kind of areas, that's not something we want to see. We need to see more of these places. It always bothers me when we go forward with these medical marijuana and trying to, you know, get around the fact that it's illegal. we end up kind of doing it halfway, right? We don't have quite enough supply for to match the demand. And when we go halfway and there's negative consequences from that, they say, oh, see, we went halfway and it didn't work out. We shouldn't go any farther. Would really, if they'd have gone farther, if they'd have gone and allowed more people to get their medicine, get quality medicine, more people to produce it and come up with a reasonable system, they'd have had less problems. And so we kind of get stung by going halfway and having these results not turn out the way we'd like them to.
Three grade schools in Billings, Montana, sent children home with flyers addressing medical marijuana this week. The students at three District 2 elementary schools sent the kids home with bright yellow sheets of paper with the heading, Medical Marijuana Crisis. The paper went on to call marijuana a gateway drug and urged parents to take back control by contacting local officials, attending public meetings, or volunteering time. Our community and our children are at risk, the flyers read in capital letters. The flyers went home with the children despite being rejected by School District 2 officials, but apparently the leaders at the Meadowlark, McKinley, and Newman schools didn't open an email memo in time to stop the distribution. 19 other elementary schools had planned to send the flyers home, but read the emails and didn't do that. Superintendent Jack Kopp said that although the flyer effort was well-intentioned, it was clearly over the line as they should not have sent home the flyers because of their political nature. The information was not credited to any source, and an email address listed on the flyer does not work. One parent whose third grader brought home the memo in a packet of end-of-year materials said political issues should not be for the children. Other parents were upset by the questions their children were asking after reading the flyer, which contained a brief summary of how medical marijuana became legal in Montana and bullet points that seem meant to alarm readers. Although not mentioned on the flyer, the wording is identical to the website of a group called Safe Community, Safe Kids that is encouraging Montanans to sign a petition to repeal the 2004 Medical Marijuana Act. Children should not be expected to understand or even be involved in the debate, said Colleen Eatman, whose daughter was frightened by the flyer. It's gone too far when they take it into our children's lives, Eatman said. A crisis in a kid's eyes is really large. To explain this to a 9-year-old is difficult to do. At least 15,000 Montanans have medical marijuana cards.
Wow, this is repulsive and offensive on so many levels, trying to brainwash kids and frighten them to get their parents to react to a political situation, to try to get them to repeal a very popular medical marijuana law. Montana passed its medical marijuana in 2004 with 62%, right? 62%, you know, 3 out of 5 people, almost 2 out of 3, right? Very wide support. And as it's become more and more successful, as more and more people have registered, there's been this backlash of conservatives in and other folks in Montana against medical marijuana. And it's not against the medicine. It's against the people that use it. It's against these stereotypes that they hold of hippies or whatever you want to call it. And it's just offensive to come out and try to brainwash our children into thinking there's some sort of crisis. I think what they're really scared of here is the fact that when people use medical marijuana, in kids' eyes, it becomes medicine and it becomes less demonized. And some parents become afraid because how am I going to tell my kid to not use marijuana when they're seeing that it's medicine and it's not illegal? And to me, that's just lazy parenting. That's saying you don't have the convenient excuse of it's illegal, it's bad, so don't do it. You can't come up with a better way to take care of your kids, a better way to explain to them that there's some things that are for adults only, that there's some things that are medical, that kids don't need to be involved with. You know, I always go out on a limb here when I talk about parenting because, of course, I don't have any children, and that's the first thing someone will say. You don't have any kids. You don't know. But I think, you know, to be reasonable here, I really think that we could do a better job teaching our kids about medical marijuana, and it doesn't need to be done from the schools.
And Dennis Hopper, who passed away last weekend, will be immortalized in more ways than one, but also with a strain of cannabis that's named after him. Craig Rubin, who runs Temple 420, a dispensary in Los Angeles, said that Hopper has been an icon in the cannabis community for 4 decades and over the years never denied his love of the herb. Rubin says that Hopper toked up until his last days purchasing medical marijuana each week. The name of the strain will possibly be called the Hopper.
Celebrity strains. I like this. Dennis Hopper strain. I think that's, you know, they got the Jack Herer strain.
Right.
And you've got the Lester Grinspoon. Dr. Grinspoon's a strain that's out there. And then Dennis Hopper. I think, you know, as far as a weed Hall of Fame goes, I think that's wonderful.
I want a bud that looks like Alex Trebek's mustache. I think that would be a great strain. Alex Trebek's mustache.
Alex Trebek's mustache. All right, all you growers out there, the die is cast here. Alex Trebek's mustache. Next up here.
A Nevada medical marijuana patient has chosen to spend 30 days in jail instead of 1 year probation with no jail because it meant he wouldn't be allowed to use medical cannabis for the entire year. Charles Bowser pleaded guilty to a harassment charge and took the jail sentence because he felt that giving cannabis up for 30 days was the lesser of two evils. Doctor recommended medical marijuana is considered a violation of probation, despite the fact that it is legal in Nevada.
You know, that's just, if this guy had a prescription for Vicodin, if he had a prescription for OxyContin, you know, even if he was on, you know, freaking heroin methadone maintenance, he'd probably be okay. But, you know, because he's got medical marijuana, he's got to choose between 30 days in a cell versus a year of probation because they won't let him have the medical marijuana. Again, these are the kind of things that show us why medical marijuana doesn't go far enough. It doesn't allow people who've been accused of crimes and might have to, you know, do some time in a jail the right to their medical, the right to their medicine. You know, I spoke with Madeline Martinez about this, and she said when she worked in the state prisons that it was considered cruel and unusual punishment to deny pain medications to prisoners, to murderers, to rapists, to thieves, to pedophiles. Whoever was locked up there, you could not deny them their pain-relieving medication because of the Eighth Amendment. But we can deny them cannabis? We can force them to have to make a choice between imprisonment and a relatively decent life on probation for a year? This is sickening.
And this one just sort of jumped out at me. Tonight's episode of the News Magazine TV program 2020 is airing a piece about using marijuana for medical purposes on children. There are several well-documented cases of the beneficial effects of medical marijuana with children suffering from disorders ranging from autism and OCD and even some with ADHD. This rather new course of treatment has ignited debate over how young is too young to treat a person using medical marijuana. Chris Connolly will cover the issue on a segment that is part of a larger theme of the show entitled Extreme Kids, How Young is Too Young. That will air with other stories about kids bullfighting, sailing around the world, and climbing Mount Everest.
Okay, well, let's just think here. How young is too young to prescribe a kid Ritalin? Okay, we got all sorts of things we prescribe to very young kids, and cannabis is something we're going to worry about? I mean, by no means should we have kids out there using marijuana recreationally or without their parents' knowledge or without medical supervision, but there are definitely some strong cases to be made for the juvenile use of medical marijuana. I've spoken directly to Miko Hester Perez. She's one of the women. She was on Good Morning America, lots of other shows, talking about how she is using medical marijuana to treat the symptoms of her son's severe autism. And it went from him having 300 violent outbursts or episodes per day, which include things like biting people, hurting himself, biting himself, and so on, to like none, like one or two maybe a week from his use of cannabis. And he's a more thoughtful little boy, and she can actually, you know, get some better interaction with him, and it helps his symptoms. If it works, my God, let these people use it. We know cannabis is non-toxic. We know it's not going to cause an overdose or an addiction problem. Now, we do have studies that show that developing brains might have some slight problems if there's a heavy use of cannabis in youth. But it's one of those things we got to weigh the benefits versus the problem here. You know, you're talking about a severely autistic child or maybe a child suffering from severe epilepsy or seizures or has multiple sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease.
Leukemia. You know, I've met kids in my experience at Dornbecker's Hospital up here who were in such bad dire straits from their chemo that they smoke pot. 11-year-olds.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
You know?
You know,
how can you deny it?
How can you deny it? You know, first, do no harm. Second, try to help these kids out. And, you know, it's not something that should be, you know, abused or that should be taken lightly. Definitely it's something that needs to be with doctor supervision, with parental involvement. But I'm looking forward, Carrie, to that show. It's 2020 tonight, right?
It's on 2020. It's airing tonight. But I hear you guys are all, you know, out on the town. You guys are the cool kids. You're not staying home watching TV on Friday.
Yeah, I'll be trying to get out to the Sting concert, actually, to get some signatures out there. Sting's in Portland. And, of course, we've got Ganja John out at the Cottonmouth Kings Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah. Madeline Martinez will be at that Sting concert, too.
Yeah, so. We'll be heading out there with Madeline. So you might be able to run into us. We'll try to get some signatures. All registered voters, we got to have you come out here and help us to get legalization done right here in the Beaver State. Oh my goodness, folks, look at the clock. It's 20 after the hour, and that means we've got everyone here in the studio. We've got to have a special meeting of the Joint Subcommittee. We'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com. Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Do you want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
I just wanted to let you know, someone from our chat room pointed out that they saw the 2020 program that was scheduled is going to be sent back a few weeks because of the Vandersloot story, the kid that possibly killed Natalie Holloway and now has killed somebody else. So that's going to take precedence, but we will let you know when they air that on 2020.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by The Bastard, blogging at jerseyandohio.wordpress.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, time for our Daily Toker Tune, Rockin' Friday. We always like this time of week where we get ready to go into the weekend. And who better to take us into this weekend than our next guest, the singer-songwriter, musician extraordinaire behind our favorite tune, O Depot, that we played many times on Rockin' Friday. It's Ian Lloyd from New York City. Ian, welcome to the show.
Russ, how are you? Good to talk with you, man.
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. And, you know, we all loved that song, O Depot, and you've been a contributor to the Marijuana Music Awards for a long time. The tune you're playing today is called High to Fly. Tell us about how you came up with that one.
Well, you know, my whole album, In the Land of Eau de Poe, is all about, you know, my love of the herbal weed, and it's been a part of my life since the 60s, so I'm a lifer.
Right on.
And, you know, just all the songs are basically a product of who I am and how I think about things, and obviously I've done a lot of flying, and definitely like to get high before you get on that plane one way or the other.
Yeah, it's a lot better for you than them little liquor bottles they give to you, that's for sure.
Well, I actually bring my own now.
BYOB.
Exactly, yeah. So I fly cheap. You know, we get tomato juice. I'll have another tomato juice.
I'll have the mixers. That's beautiful. So,
yeah, but, you know, my album, In the Land of Eau de Poe, Eau de Poe to me is like, it's kind of like the land that I spend most of my time in. It's in my head, of course, but, you know, it's just... Well, I'd just like to see everybody smoking pot. I think it's something good for people to do in this time craziness, you know.
Well, you say that you're a lifer, you know, since the 60s. Is that also go for your performing music?
Yeah. Basically, yes, I started, you know, as a child. Both my parents were professional musicians and toured around in the classical in the genre pretty much, but so I've basically grown up with music as a major part of my life.
All right. If people want to get a hold of In the Land of Eau de Poe and listen to your music online, is there a website they could take a look at?
Yeah, you should go to MachineDreamRecords.com. That is my little online independent record company, and you'll find information there. It'll link you to purchase it. Obviously, it's available at all the download stores, you know, iTunes and Napster and all that stuff. And also, if you go to myspace.com/IanLloydsStories. I like to promote that as for instant gratification. You'll hear a bunch of the songs there and see some video stuff and you know, so that's a good thing. But also, I have to mention, I'm in another band called Social Hero, and they're also on Machine Dream Records, and that band is made up of the leaders is my son David Lloyd.
Oh.
So we're keeping it in the family, and they're definitely contemporary rock, you know, the obvious influences are probably like Zeppelin and Hendrix, and then STP, Pearl Jam. We occasionally get compared to Alice in Chains because of our harmonies.
Yeah.
Because obviously I supply, he's the lead singer and writer, but I supply the harmonies and do stuff like, I don't know if your listeners know, but I'm the high vocal parts on all the Foreigner records, Waiting for a Girl, Cold as Ice, and I also sing harmonies with John Anderson on Yes Union.
Wow.
Being a major fan of Yes, so you know I've done tons of music throughout my career, but In the Land of Eau de Poe and Social Hero, their album is The Famous. I'm actually going to be doing some shows with them later this month. It is June now, later this month, and we're doing some club work in Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, and Detroit. So we're trying to kind of break out of New York City, which is, you know, if you play in New York, you have to play for free.
Yeah,
sometimes
much.
Even pay. Sometimes I don't do that, but it's that kind of atmosphere. There's just so much going on all the time. You really have to be coming from out of town to get a nicer venue. The clubs are great, but, you know, it's just different situation. But
so for these
Machine Dream Records.
Yeah, these mm-hmm. upcoming dates are on Machine Dream Records, so people check that out. You want to catch Ian Lloyd live with any of the groups that he's working with. And I'm so happy to hear that the music is going to the third generation of the Lloyd family. That's fantastic, man. I come from a musical family, so I dig it.
Aha. Well, you know, it's inevitable.
It is.
Fortunate or not. He was doomed as I was because he started, you know, when he was a little tiny little short guy, we, you know, banging on the piano, and we finally said, well, let's take him to a teacher. And they said, it's good that you brought him because he's going to play no matter what. Give him some basic training to, take off from,
That's fantastic. Well, Ian Lloyd, this is the next song from the album In the Land of Oedipus, and everybody get ready because it's time to get talking to us from New York City. Coming up next, we'll have Steve Bloom from New York City in our Celeb Stoner Entertainment Report. And you'll be able to get that song downloaded from stash.normal.org.
It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time for our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar this weekend, Friday, June 4th, Saturday, June 5th, Sunday, June 6th. All weekend long, Normal will be at Wakarusa. This is in Ozark, Missouri, so our Missouri Normal chapters will be out there. For more details, check out missourinormal.org, joplin-normal.org, kcnormal.org. Somebody's got to have some more information on that. Normal at Wakarusa. On Saturday, June 5th, Miami Valley Normal will be taping at Dayton, Ohio for a TV appearance. So for more information there, check out mvnormal.org. Sunday, June 6th, Normal Louisiana's got their online chat meeting going on. This is via Normal Louisiana's website. Just check out normallouisiana.org. And then we've got other things that are happening this weekend coming up, or the next weekend, excuse me. June 10th through 12th is the Aspen Normal Legal Seminar. Normal Show Live will be there, myself and Cannabis Carry, bringing you all sorts of streaming on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There will be no show on the 9th, so Wednesday we will have no show because that's when we're flying and driving up to Aspen. There will also be no show on the 14th of June. For the same reason, we'll be flying back. Then on June 19th and 20th is the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in San Francisco, California. Danny Danko, Jorge Cervantes, and others will be there, including myself and Ganja John and perhaps Cannabis Carry. Are you coming to San Francisco with us? All right, so we'll get Cannabis Carry out there, and we'll be bringing you all sorts of streaming from that event as well. And then on the, let's see, 19th and 20th is that event. I'll be flying back on the 21st, so no show then. The 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, I've got brand new breaking news for my schedule. I'll be appearing at the Boise Public Library Auditorium Tuesday, June 22nd, delivering my 420 presentation from Tacoma on legalization. Some of you may have caught that. Ganja John was with me.
I was totally there.
He was totally totally there. On Wednesday, June 23rd, I'll be tabling at the Idaho Center for the concert for Slightly Stupid, as well as the Expendables. And then on Thursday, June 24th, going back to my hometown, Nampa, Idaho. The location has yet to be determined, but I'll be delivering my presentation there in Nampa. So I am working hard to get a Normal chapter established in my home state. And by God, by the time I come back, we'll have us a Normal chapter going on. For more information on all of these events, including the names, dates, email addresses, websites, and more, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the battle, the war on drugs has been a utter failure.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure, utter failure.
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws. The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Decriminalize our marijuana laws.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Decriminalize our marijuana laws.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Normal Show Live, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
Everyone move.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
Welcome back, everyone. 39 after the hour, and on the first and third Fridays, and if there's a fifth Friday, we always go out to New York City to talk with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com, the web's leading source for cannabis entertainment-related news. Steve, how you doing today? Oh, looks like we're still dialing him up. Okay. Well, we'll just riff for a little while we get Steve on the air here. The latest at CelebStoner.com, all sorts of stuff we're going to talk with Steve Bloom here about. Dennis Hopper, of course, the legendary film actor and beloved counterculture icon, passed away last weekend. And I'm sure that Steve's got all sorts of memories that we'll talk about that. Kirsten Dunst is on trial right now, I understand, for not on trial, but she's gone to the police regarding a stolen purse that she's been trying to get back, and there's some marijuana-related news involved in that story. Also, Steve's got up on the website a great book that talks about cannabis trips, being able to take different geographical trips around the country, around the world, and some of the best places for the cannabis community to hang out. And then, of course, Be Real from Cypress Hill, from Dr. Green Thumb, and all of the great events that he puts on in California. Be Real has turned 40 this week, and so we're going to take a look at B-Real's career and what's up next with him and Cypress Hill. But it looks like we're not able to get Steve Bloom on the show. Steve, are you there by any chance? No, we're just having a busy signal. So unfortunately, we're unable to connect to Steve right at the moment. We'll just move on to some other segments that we've got planned here on the show. Let me also bring up the Normal Daily Stash blog. Okay. Ad-libbing here a bit for live radio. It happens sometimes.
Coming up next, we have a cannabis conversation.
Yeah, we'll have ourselves a little conversation, absolutely. And we'll see if we can get Steve back on the show a little bit later in the day. This is Normal Show Live, right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Cannabis Conversations.
So I read your article as outreach coordinator for Normal. Can you describe what you do, please?
Well, I kind of wear two hats here at Normal. The outreach coordinator hat means that I'm in charge of coordinating the local chapters. We have over 100 local chapters in colleges, everywhere from colleges to cities to statewide chapters. So I help coordinate their actions with National Normal. And I'm also in charge of recruiting new activists in states and cities that don't have Normal chapters and teach them how to form them and how how to, you know, behave as a normal chapter. The other hat that I wear is that I do outreach to the general public, outreach and information, education and such, through Normal Show Live, our live talk radio show, and through our community blog, which we call the Stash blog, out at stash.normal.org. So it's both outreach to our current team members and outreach to the general public.
And your article, West Coast Cannabis, you talked about beware the medicalization of marijuana. Can you explain what you mean by the medicalization?
Well, we've seen over the past 14 years since California passed Prop 215, we now have 14 states that have passed protections or exemptions from criminal law, criminal prosecution, if one is engaged in the recognized medical use of marijuana. And the point of my article was basically that putting marijuana in solely a medical category is kind of a double-edged sword. On one hand, when we show people the medical benefits of cannabis, it helps to open their minds to the fact that it's not the dangerous reefer they'd always been told it was. But on the other hand, medical cannabis still recognizes that there should be some criminality to healthy people using it. And I've always found that problematic. And this idea of beware the medicalization is to beware us putting cannabis in that medical box and leading it toward other pharmaceutical type medications where there's severe restrictions, there's penalties for non-prescription use, and so on. We here at Normal believe that all adults aged 21 and over should have the right to use cannabis for whatever purposes, be they religious, medical, or just personal purposes. So medical is, while it's a beautiful thing and it helps the people who desperately need it, it's too small a category for that plant.
Are you familiar with the efforts to regulate 215 in California?
Regulating the medical use in California?
Yes. Well, actually, this is one of the difficulties that I personally see in the Pass Cannabis 2010 initiative that's going forward, which is, you know, 215 left the quantification or regulation pretty broadly open. And so what's happened in California is there's been a patchwork of local attempts to regulate that have led to a lot of confusion, if not downright conflict and suspicion. Sure. You can be completely legal in your usage in one county and subject to a lot of trouble in another. It has not been consistently applied statewide. And the initiative also leaves legalized cannabis to local governments. And I also see that as, you know, recreating the same situation where, the basic that it's legal for you to possess and use an ounce will be legal anywhere in California. But the everything else surrounding it is going to be completely up for grabs. Mm-hmm. And so my fear is the, just results in confusion. So in your article, you mentioned an Arizona initiative. I don't know where that is. This article is a year old. Mm-hmm.
The Arizona Initiative is one that's sponsored by the Marijuana Policy Project, and it is a medical marijuana initiative. It includes dispensaries, a regulated dispensary system, and one interesting clause in that has to do with the fact that if a patient lives within 25 miles of one of these dispensaries, they are not allowed to grow their own medicine. So only people living in rural areas, you know, away from cities that have dispensaries would be likely to still have that right to home grow.
Hmm. As somebody who tracks medical cannabis, opinions as to, what makes the best medicine, homegrown versus, say, indoor provided by a dispensary?
Well, I think no matter who's putting the medicine together, it can be good medicine. It just depends on the quality of the grower and the genetics of the strain that the person is growing. At Normal, you know, we always support the right to home grow. If there's going to be dispensaries, that's great. If people want to appoint caregivers for them, that's fine. It doesn't matter to us whether the person person growing the marijuana as a single producer or turns out to be a regulated large-scale warehouse. It really doesn't matter. But the main important thing is that we defend that right for the consumer to grow their own cannabis. It's the only way that we're protected from monopolistic business practices or governments controlling the cannabis and giving us an inferior product or charging us too much. People have the right to brew their own beer, for example, but most people don't. But the threat that people could brew their own beer is enough to keep the beer manufacturers from jacking up the prices to where they might be ridiculous. That same sort of principle applies to cannabis. If we do not have that right to home grow, we are subject to the whims of corporations and governments that will control the cannabis.
What do you think rescheduling, or do you foresee any possibility of rescheduling marijuana from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2?
A number of states have already done that in their own state schedules. In my opinion, down to Schedule 2 is still too strict a category for cannabis. I think it shouldn't be scheduled at all, considering that it's safer than most of the over-the-counter medicines that we get. Nonetheless, not even mentioning here the prescription medications, the scheduled medications. So, but what are the chances of that happening? I think fairly good, in that it is a kind of a political out for our government that have been prohibiting cannabis for so long. If they can say, all right, well, we do recognize certain medical properties of this and we'll move it down to Schedule 2, I think that's more politically tenable than, saying we're going to outright legalize marijuana. The benefits of moving it down to Schedule 2, while it would still be a highly prohibited drug, I mean, remember, cocaine is a Schedule 2 drug. So this would be still highly prohibited. Doctors would have to be, strictly scrutinized for their use of it. But the main benefit of getting it down to Schedule 2 is it then opens it up for scientific research. We are blocked every time we try to get decent research on medical cannabis by the National Institutes of Drug Abuse, by the DEA, who will not allow that kind of beneficial research into Schedule 1 drugs. They're actually forbidden from doing so. The only research that can go out on marijuana has to be research that shows that it's bad. It leads to some very interesting conclusions from researchers. Once we move it to Schedule 2, they can get a hold of cannabis and do legitimate research on it and show the benefits of it, which I believe can only begin to move cannabis farther down that schedule or take it off the schedule altogether.
Okay. What about... Do you foresee some problems, though, if it got to Schedule 2 with this further medicalization where, the science becomes so rigid around it that the controls become, as you say, like cocaine?
Yeah. And that is, the double-edged sword of medical marijuana. On the one hand, you open up people's minds to the truth of it. But on the other hand, you characterize it as something that is super powerful and needing of controls and needing of strict regulations. And, one of the things I always bring up when we talk about legalization and how that word scares people is to remember that aspirin is legal and morphine is legal. Legalization is a very, very broad spectrum, and all we're asking for is that cannabis be put on that spectrum somewhere to start with, but naturally it should go more toward the aspirin side than it should the morphine side, based on the science of how it affects people and its health risks and so on.
Here in California, of course, the big issue is the tax cannabis initiative that might possibly legalize it in November. What do you see, as either the benefits or the potential problems of a dual track where there's medical marijuana and then there's legalized recreational, if you will, marijuana?
I think there's nothing but benefit from it. For one thing, people on the medical side have long time, some people, I won't, characterize everyone, but some people on the medical side for a long time have had a problem with what they call legalizers. These are the kind of folks that have really severe, debilitating medical conditions that desperately need the use of cannabis for their health. And they feel kind of like some people have jumped on that bandwagon who perhaps maybe don't have such a strong medical need for cannabis. I think by legalizing the personal use of cannabis up to an ounce, you thereby take out those people who would jump through the hoops they need to jump through to get their Prop 215 recommendation. Instead, they won't go through that trouble, and therefore the people using medical will be more how can you say, more medical, will be more obviously medical users, and the people that want to use it for their own personal reasons now have the right to do so. So I think it helps to separate the two issues and give medical marijuana more credence among people, because then we'll have more people using it who are medical users, more clearly medical users.
Excellent. Okay. So in other words, people won't have to hide behind a medical defense if they're responsible users.
Exactly. And the people who really do need the medical use and amounts greater than an ounce and more plants than would fit in a 5x5 area, they still have that option of becoming, you know, medical patients and having those higher limits.
Nationwide, what do you see as the future of medical cannabis?
Nationwide, the world looks a whole lot different than it does in California. Since California passed Prop 215, every medical marijuana law that's come out subsequently has gotten more and more tightly restricted up until this last state, New Jersey, which has passed medical marijuana, which...
I'm sorry, Russ, you completely dropped out there.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, you started off, you know, just brilliantly with nationwide. It's a different story. So if you could, redo that.
You got it. Well, the situation nationwide is a whole lot different than it is in California. It looks very different. Since California passed Prop 215, the other states that have taken up medical marijuana have crafted more strict regulations for their medical marijuana, especially the states back east that don't have the initiative process. When it's crafted through a legislature, we get very strict and tight controls, things like 2-ounce limits and only allowed to grow 6 plants, and some states even passing it so that chronic pain is not considered a qualifying condition. Those were bills that were vetoed in Minnesota and New Hampshire, but that's what got through the legislature, was no chronic pain. And most disturbingly, in New Jersey and these other two that got vetoed, no right to grow your own medicine. In New Jersey, the people must go to their dispensaries. They're not allowed to grow their own cannabis. So nationwide, medical marijuana seems to be getting more into that medicalization that I warned about. It's getting stricter and stricter and tighter controls. So this is why so many people are looking to California for this legalization vote, because nationwide they feel like the medical marijuana road can only go so far in their political climate. With legalization passing in California, that opens up the opportunity for that discussion to happen in other states. If it fails in California, that discussion is shut off, because every conservative state lawmaker can say, well, they wouldn't even pass legalization in California. Why would we even think of it here in Texas or Oklahoma or Mississippi or any of these other states? So it's a very important vote, and that's where I see medical marijuana going nationwide.
Mm-hmm. When... California pass this initiative, and it's a razor thin margin right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's very difficult to say whether it can pass or not. The regulatory structure is going to be very crucial. Do you have any general thoughts about regulating marijuana statewide in a rational way? Because right now, of course, California, with its dreadful economic situation, they're looking at it as a cow to milk, basically, as a cash cow. Especially looking at Tom Amiano's proposed bill, which he thinks would be rushed through in order to create a regulatory structure, I genuinely don't see a lot of rational thought about regulation. So I'm just curious if you have general thoughts about this.
Sure. And you'd asked something earlier about the local control that's built into this initiative, as far as if a local municipality wants to enact regulations to allow the commercial production or sales of cannabis. And you kind of brought up also how Prop 215 is kind of patchwork. And, we have different regulations in different counties. Both of those situations owe to the federal prohibition on cannabis. It creates a situation that when you try to write an amendment, you try to write an initiative or a new law, that you cannot direct the state to violate federal law. It's called a positive conflict with federal law. So if California was to come forth and say, all right, in the state of California, dispensaries shall be run this way and there shall be this many of them at a state level, you're thereby getting the state involved with the buying and selling of cannabis. It's in positive conflict with federal law, and then that gets thrown out. Similarly, with Tax Cannabis 2010, if they came out and said, everybody, every state, every county, every city shall allow the buying and selling of cannabis, they get struck down in federal courts. So this local thing, and I agree, it's not my favorite way of getting things done either. You bring up the Ammiano bill, which was a statewide tax and regulate, and they pointed out, I think the California Board of Equalization said $1.4 billion that can be made. Obviously, with this tax cannabis 2010, it's going to be less than that because it's not a statewide, and it doesn't exactly set what the taxation structure or regulation structure should be. It's an unfortunate circumstance, but it seems to be the only way we're going to have a hope of keeping this alive after the, you know, inevitable federal challenges. As far as what I would like to see in cannabis regulation, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not even, you know, a businessman, so I don't try to get too detailed on this, but conceptually, I can't see that the production, commercial production or sales of cannabis should be any different than the commercial production and sales of wine. We have a good structure, a good system there that keeps track of making sure that only adults get it, that growers have to be licensed, they have to meet certain quality standards, certain environmental standards. I just can't see how wine, grapes, and cannabis should be regulated that much differently.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Russ. You've given me a lot.
Or to support legalizing and taxing marijuana use.
I think it's time for debate.
Normal Show Live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympia smoking a joint. Did he really smoke a joint? And did he, in fact, inhale?
Saying I'm in need of change. I'm in need of change. See, I used to get high.
Chonga said that you and him used to smoke weed together.
He was right.
He was right?
We always had a good time. We know how to enjoy ourselves.
Nothing to lose. Now I can't get high. Can't get high.
Come on, Cohagan. You got what you want. Give these people air.
Days come to pass and the nights tend to last much longer than they should.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I used to get high. At the end of the day, and I used to get high. That time ticking away, and I used to get high.
Welcome back, everybody. Normal Show Live. Hey, we can come back here and do another 30 minutes of just hanging out. And Cannabis Carry has some very interesting news. Breaking, important, earth-shattering, major, not-to-be-missed news.
Dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun.
Stay tuned.
No, I mean right now.
Oh, we're talking about it right now.
Yeah,
oh,
we're live. We're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
This is a live show, right? Where am I at?
Where are you?
Let's get out of here. I had some really good weed back at the hotel.
Thanks, Bill O'Reilly.
just that in my sweet little hometown of Astoria, Oregon, we talk about it, you know, on the show occasionally. It comes up because that's where I'm usually, when I give the news, that's where my butt is usually sitting.
Right.
And this weekend is the 25th anniversary of the movie The Goonies was shot there. And everyone in town are Goonies fanatics. And all weekend we're having all kinds of Goonie-related activities.
Goonie-related activities.
That's right. It's very exciting. Corey Feldman is going to be there. Sean Astin is going to be there. Jeff Cohen, who played Chunk. He's not an actor anymore. He's actually an entertainment lawyer.
And as Carrie told me during the break, an actual fox.
He is
I don't know
a
what
hunk.
That means. Oh, he's a hunk.
He's a hunk.
Yeah.
He's not a
hunk
chunk.
Of fox.
He's a hunk.
Chunk is a hunk.
And a very, very nice guy. And I think he's single. Okay. And,
but you're not.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to have tours of where places where they filmed it. The old jail, they had a few scenes that were shot at the old Astoria jail, and that's sort of been kind of abandoned, even though it's in the middle of the town, but they've polished that up a little bit, and they're giving tours of that. And Corey Feldman is a rock star now. He's got a band called The Truth Movement, and they're having a Goonies-themed concert on Sunday. Corey Feldman's band, The Ataris, and two other bands that I've never heard of, and I'm sure they're
Ataris,
awesome.
The Ataris wrote that song, So Long Astoria, about Astoria. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. It's about, basically, it's a Goonies song, but, you know,
right.
It's about Astoria. yeah.
So everyone will be dressed like pirates, and the entire weekend everybody will be saluting everybody else with a "Never Say Die."
Never Say Die.
And they have a big announcement. And Carrie and I were speculating.
We are speculating. Warner Brothers. The funny thing is, people come to. I've been involved with a lot of things in Astoria, the Chamber of Commerce, and the shelter, and a lot of different organizations I'm involved with. And one of the reasons why I live there is because I am obsessed with Lewis and Clark. For those of you that don't know, Lewis and Clark, when they came over to the Pacific, that's my hometown, is where they wintered when they actually made it to the Pacific. So there's a ton of Lewis and Clark history there. But the poor Chamber of Commerce, for every one question they get about Lewis and Clark, they get 10 about the Goonies.
What, so, no Kindergarten Cop?
I'm the only guy that asks about Kindergarten Cop.
Actually, I never saw this movie in the 80s, but Short Circuit?
Yeah, of course. Filmed here in Portland, too.
Johnny
Five!
I watched that this weekend, and that has more Astoria footage scenes than
awesome.
Any other Astoria-filmed movie I've seen. So yeah. I guess maybe it's so goofy we don't really promote it that much there.
That could be. So this is this weekend, Saturday?
It's this weekend. It actually starts today. We have a beautiful old theater called the Liberty Theater, and the Goonies will be showing in the theater tonight and tours tomorrow. Wow.
Also, the new Goonies documentary.
And yeah, we didn't talk about the Warner Brothers has come into town. People come into town. They ask about Goonies. We don't have any Goonie swag up there. You can go take pictures of the house or the sites, but it's all licensed under Warner Brothers.
Yeah, and so, the owners of the house don't like you walking on
the
property.
No, actually, it's a woman now that owns that house. She's awesome. She's actually opening her house to tours this weekend.
Really?
Can you imagine saying, sure, world, come on in and see my living room.
Come on in.
My wife was so excited to see this house, and then it says, you can't drive up here.
Yeah, you can't drive up there because it's like a small little driveway and a turnaround, but you can park at the bottom and walk up to the house. She welcomes people, and she's used to it. So many people come up. But Warner Brothers is trucked in truckloads of swag. So for the first time in 25 years in Astoria, you can actually get Goonies t-shirts and hats and stickers and all that kind of stuff.
When we say swag, we mean swag,
swag.
S-W-A-G, stuff we all get. That's what swag is. Swag, of course, is something different entirely.
There you go. And Warner Brothers is saying they have a big announcement about the Goonies that they're going to announce Saturday night. And John and I were speculating that they're either going to have a remake.
Sequel.
A sequel, or I thought maybe a prequel.
Which would be awesome.
How the pirate ship got in that big cave.
Kids movie starring a guy named One-Eyed Willie.
There's something to that. Well, thank you for that breaking update.
Can I give a website?
Oh, yes.
I know this is a cannabis-related show, and Goonies really isn't that cannabis. Although, I will tell you.
I watched it high.
I was going to say, it's a lot more fun to watch it when you're on weed. But GooniesAniversary.com gives you a whole list of all the stuff going on in my town this weekend.
Wow.
Thank you, Russ.
I just may have to go up to the coast this weekend.
Yeah, come on up.
I got so much to do, but.
Yeah.
I missed that Animal House 25th or 30th anniversary, whatever it was.
I didn't.
When we first moved here in 2003,
right,
and I had my feet surgery, and I so badly wanted to go down to Cottage Grove, and Ganja John went.
Yeah, I did. My dad's a big fan of that movie. So I'm going to say some little-known movies filmed in Astoria.
Okay.
The Ring.
Yeah.
The Ring. Actually, it was The Ring 2.
And The Ring 2. Parts of the first one.
Oh, I had not. Yeah. I did not know that.
But my wife's terrified of that film. Into the Wild was another one.
Yes, I have a great story. So Sean Penn is in that movie,
mm-hmm.
and in my regular life, I work at a hotel, and he was eating, the night I had to work, he was eating at the restaurant across the street, and he literally went outside for a cigarette break every single 5 minutes. So we had this big plant, and I had some little opera glasses. I was watching him intently on his cigarette breaks. Very
Ooh.
Exciting.
Creepy.
I'm a stalker.
Also, Free Willy.
Yes.
Free Willy.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
And actually, I know tons of people. They use tons of locals in that movie, and a lot of people fondly point out where they are in that movie.
And then the 1987 classic, Benji the Hunted.
Benji the Hunted.
That's all I got.
Come to the Paradise with, I think, Randy Quaid maybe was in that.
Yeah.
Come to the Paradise. And lots of the Discovery Channel does Coast Guard stuff there all the time. So if you watch TLC or... the Discovery Channel, there's lots and lots of footage of my area.
It's just a beautiful place.
It is.
It's just absolutely beautiful.
It's Astoria, Oregon. It's our virtual studio, the home of Cannabis Carry and the 4.2-mile-long bridge and the Astoria Column and the wreck of the Peter Iredale.
And where Lewis and Clark wintered when they first came here.
And where Lewis and Clark wintered when they first came here. Thank you guys so much. And let's get on with the rest of our show. Talk about some marijuana.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everybody. 7 after, 8 after the hour now. We're going long on our Friday show to take you through this weekend, one of the first summer weekends. We hope you have a good time. We have been covering so many stories here at Normal Show Live. We're just going to kind of open up the discussion here, and we've got some time to talk. So those of you in the chat room who are listening, if you've got any topics you'd like to ask, any questions to ask, or things you'd like us to discuss, we are here ready to talk about it. But I wanted to open up with something I've been worried about for a long time, and that is a backlash against medical marijuana. And we're seeing it in so many ways. Here in Oregon, over the past two or three legislative sessions, the business and the construction industries and law enforcement lobbyists have come out in force. Every year they have bills to either, in fact, there's I believe an initiative right now that's being proposed. Kevin Mannix, I believe, is the guy behind it, to repeal the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act and turn it into a prescription Marinol program, right? To take away medical marijuana and everybody now has to have Marinol. We all know the problems with Marinol, not the least of which it's $20 a pill. So we have all these people fighting against medical marijuana in Oregon, but we're also seeing a lot of restrictions in medical marijuana nationwide. As we see more and more of these states pass medical marijuana, we see the bills or the initiatives or the bills get longer and longer and longer with more fine print and more details to restrict people's medical access to cannabis. New Jersey just passed medical marijuana to become the 14th state to do so, but they passed it without the right to home grow. People cannot grow their own medical marijuana in the state of New Jersey. They must go to a dispensary. And we know what the prices are like at dispensaries at this point. We look at the states of Minnesota and Connecticut and what was the other one? New Hampshire all had bills for medical marijuana. And in each of those states, they had a governor that was opposed to medical marijuana. So activists and legislators made compromises. They took things out of the bills. In Minnesota, they took chronic pain out of the bill. Okay, chronic pain. It made it so that a person who has cancer couldn't actually get medical marijuana unless they were terminal. Right? Not just regular old cancer. They had to be, you know, just about to die. They took away the right to home grow in the Minnesota bill, in the Connecticut bill, I think the New Hampshire bill. And every compromise they made was met with a veto stamp, which is kind of, you know, maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing, but it's definitely a bad thing to the people who needed medical marijuana in those states who are still suffering. The medical marijuana bills are getting more and more restrictive. And now we've seen this week in Arizona how the MPP sponsored initiative down there has made the ballot. And it, again, takes away the right to home grow. Or we should say it grants the right to home grow if you live 25 miles away from a dispensary. They have this thing called the HALO rule that says that if you live within 25 miles of a dispensary, you're not allowed to grow your own. You must go to that dispensary, that particular dispensary. And part of this is because it also contains language to track how much medical marijuana you're using and how often.
Sorry about that. That wasn't Kevin Mannix. That was Tom Berger.
Tom Berger. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the update there. As I was saying, this initiative is going to track how much medical marijuana people in the state of Arizona are using to ensure that they don't get more than 2.5 ounces every 10 days. I think it's 2.5, maybe it's 2.0, have to look up for sure. But to restrict them to a certain amount of medical marijuana every 10 days, keeping this information in a database and making sure you don't go over your allotted amount. So as we're seeing, medical marijuana laws are getting more and more restrictive. We're not seeing conditions very often getting added to medical marijuana. In 12 years in Oregon, the only condition that's been added as a qualifying condition for medical marijuana has been Alzheimer's agitation, despite the fact that we're seeing so much results in our veterans for PTSD, for people with strong anxiety disorders, depression, and so on. So as medical marijuana gets more and more restrictive, we have to start to take a look at what point does it become a defeating strategy, let's say, for the eventual legalization of marijuana for all. I'm going to bring in the rest of our show here, rest of our crew here, Carrie and Ganja John. And I'll start with Carrie because you've been covering what's been going on Montana. And I think that's kind of a really good example of what this backlash is starting to look like.
Yeah, Montana, every negative story that comes out, the media has just jumped on it like locusts. Montana seems to have a lot of the same kind of attitude that, you know, we grew up in Idaho, and they have a lot of the similar attitudes there, kind of more right-leaning. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but when it comes to drug legalization, they, you know, drugs might as well be shooting up heroin if they smell marijuana in a parking lot. And I'm just shocked, especially with this last story we had today of people thinking that it's okay to mass send flyers home with children with the word crisis in it. I mean, the thought that anybody could think that was okay, those fire bombings, with the dispensaries, instead of the media saying this violence has to stop, just that, oh, see, violence comes, you know,
violence and pot.
That's what you get if you're going to open a dispensary. I guess expect to have a Molotov cocktail thrown in your window, which is not the America I thought I lived in.
No, definitely not.
And it's not okay.
It's definitely not okay. And this backlash, you know, is now turning to violence. And one of the things I think contributes to this is the old something that Judge Judy always says, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining, that I think a lot of people, well, maybe not a lot, but there's some people out there who may be very negative on the subject of marijuana in general. I hate hippies. Damn hippies. I hate them. But when presented with a medical marijuana, they say, well, okay, if you got cancer, I suppose it's okay. And those people feel duped. They feel like, oh, my God, see what happened. Now everybody's smoking pot. The whole world's gone to hell.
That's actually a lot of the attitude in Montana. The media stories that I'm seeing is this, I told you so.
Yeah.
I told you so. We told you that this would be a problem. And really the problem is they just won't shut up about it. I mean, seriously, this is sort of how societies change. Things kind of come in and it moves in a different direction. And pretty soon it's no big deal.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's something I mentioned earlier in the show, too, this notion of we've gone kind of halfway. It's like, okay, we've given 5% of the people who use marijuana a license to use it. And the other 95%, well, you still go to jail. Well, that creates a hell of incentive for the other 95% to avoid going to jail. And that's going to lead some people to, you know, work for a medical marijuana recommendation. Now, of course, my belief is you shouldn't need a recommendation, shouldn't need a doctor's permission, shouldn't need a God's permission, shouldn't need a government's permission. It's your human right to use the plants that come out of the earth. But, you know, in the situation we're in, what can we do?
I think the line is that some people that have medical marijuana feel the recreational, it takes away the justification, like it that just delegitimizes the medical side. And then, you know, I don't know, I guess the rest of it is that there shouldn't be any marijuana for people, that it just can't possibly be recreational. They just can't get past, or possibly be medicinal. They just can't get past that.
Yeah, well, I think we all use it medicinally. I mean, be it for boredom or be it for MS, you know?
Well, yeah, and that starts to, you know, we start to talk about what is medical use. And I've made this comparison with my Loveza pills and regular fish oil pills. Or we can make the comparison between morphine and aspirin.
Right.
Okay, obviously when your doctor gives you morphine, it's for a medical purpose. But if you got a little headache and you pop an aspirin, is that medical? Well, I think it is. You know, you're treating yourself medically. And we don't worry about people taking cough syrup or taking aspirin or antihistamines. They say they're able to diagnose themselves. They're able to know when they need this. They're able to use it responsibly and not harm others. So why can't that apply to cannabis?
Right. Right. It doesn't make sense.
And it's a double-edged sword. I mean, you can grow it, which means it should be wonderful that anybody should have access to it. But then it's like, well, you can grow it, so everybody's going to grow it if we let them grow it. So
I don't see
double-edged
what problem
sword.
With that is.
Yeah, that's always, you know, when the scare tactic comes across and they say, well, we can't legalize marijuana because then everybody would want to smoke it. I always turn back to that guy and say, if I legalized it right now, would you smoke it? Well, no, I would never smoke marijuana.
Right.
So who are these people that aren't smoking pot now that are sitting there going, oh, I really wish I could smoke, but doggone it, it's illegal.
And yeah, the argument is everybody you know who really wants to smoke pot smokes pot. So.
Yeah, and maybe more people would try it.
Yeah.
But maybe then they wouldn't be led to alcohol later.
Exactly.
And the non-gateway drug effect.
Yeah, marijuana being the terminus drug, you know, not leading and leading people away from alcohol. I know myself as a rock and roll musician throughout the 90s that I was a drinking fool, man. I was a double shot of Southern Comfort every set break, right? You know, 8 to 10 shots a night and then, you know, beers at home.
Right.
And since the 2000s, I've got involved with Normal and marijuana legalization and used more cannabis. I don't drink at all. Well, other than, you know, Crown Royal during the show.
Man, that really freaked me out.
That was awesome. But yeah, I mean, I started drinking alcohol because it was easier to get than marijuana in my rural town, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And once the marijuana came around, what's the point of drinking?
Yeah, yeah. You know, for me, it was, you know, when I first got that first joint back in July 4th, 1990, and I was like, oh my God, it's drugs. Matt handed me drugs. Matta.
You're straight. Oh.
You know Matta.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Matta handed me the joint. Carrie knows Matta. This is how we know each other, actually. Is
yes.
I was in a band with Matta, and Matta worked with Carrie.
Yeah, we were soulmates for a time.
Yeah. Something like that. And I remember he handed me that joint, and my first thought was like, drugs. Oh, my God, it's drugs.
You're the cops.
It's drugs. Oh, my God, we're getting busted. It's drugs. These guys do drugs. I'm in a band with guys who do drugs. And then they were passing around, and I you know, didn't take any, right? Like the first two or three times around, I didn't take any. And I watched them, and they're, like, giggling and kind of relaxed and chilling. And I went, this is drugs? All right, well, let me see. So I took my hits, and I just remembered having such a great time. And the next day going, no hangover, no puke, no woman in my bed that I need to chew my arm off. I mean, things went well. You don't get beer goggles.
Right.
It's an amazing thing. So,
like to remind parents out there, especially the ones with teenage daughters. I mean, how many teenage girls lose their virginity under the influence of alcohol?
Oh my God.
You know,
versus pot.
So if I was a parent, and once again, Russ and I have this conversation, I'm not a parent, so I can't give out parenting advice. I get that. But I would much rather have my teenage child have at least access to marijuana as opposed to access to my liquor cabinet.
Yeah, this is something, it's controversial, you know. We say things like that, and the mainstream just goes, oh my God.
I know, gotta be careful.
kids and drugs. And yet, they turn a blind eye to the senior keg. They, you know, wink and nod that, yeah, it's just a phase kids go through that they drink, and they accept it without even questioning when we know how dangerous it is to kids with binge drinking and, you know, poisonings that they get. It's just terrible. Let me go to the chat room because we did
actually have a couple questions from the chat room.
Oh, perfect. It's 20 after almost, so this
perfect.
Is perfect time.
So I asked if anybody had questions, and the first question that came up was someone wanted to know what your personal opinions are about them shutting down the dispensaries in L.A. next week.
Oh, man. First of all, you know, we've always said that marijuana should be legalized and there should be sensible regulations, right? And to me, sensible means that you don't treat marijuana much differently than you treat alcohol, much less stringently than you should treat pharmacies. But since they've set it up in this medical frame, that's the more the direction they want to take it, is pharmacies and heavy-duty control and much security and a limited number ones and specific zoning. I mean, this one, they're saying you got to be 1,000 feet away from a school, a park, a residence, a library, a McDonald's, concrete, trees. I mean,
right.
Where are you supposed to open up your business? And it's a legal business. But when you zone it out of existence like this, that's just a backdoor way of prohibition. It's ridiculous. Los Angeles has hundreds of dispensaries. Because there's that much demand. There's
right.
that much demand there. That demand's not going away. When you close 4 out of 5 dispensaries, it's not like 4 out of 5 patients are going to go, oh, well, I'm done with marijuana. No, they're going to find it somewhere. They're going to go to those remaining dispensaries, which now have an even more captive market and less incentive to change their pricing structures. Or they're going to go back to getting it where they always got it, from somebody they know who grows.
I would suspect that some people probably do get a better price on the black market right now and would much rather buy it from the guy next door or down the street. As opposed to paying that ridiculous, like, $60 a eighth kind of prices in the dispensaries.
Yeah.
But you kind of gone back and forth the dispensaries. So personally, are you for all the LA being littered with not littered? That's a bad word. But are you for LA having a dispensary system?
Yeah.
Or would you rather kind of have them move in another direction?
Well, you know, saying whether or not I want them to have it is kind of like, you know, whether or not I want, you know, the sun to rise. It's already happening. It already exists. Do I think it's a good thing? Yeah, it's a good thing because, you know, people can get – here's the thing to me. Dispensaries are a better thing in California than they are in some other states because
sure.
California's Prop 215 gives such open access to just about, you know, anybody who wants to claim a condition for a doctor. And, you know, let's just not beat around the bush here. You can get medical marijuana for your overloaded wallet syndrome in California.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with that. You know, if that's the rule that's set up, it's got enough open access that, you know, if the market is allowed to grow, if they're allowed to have as many dispensaries as they need, then there should be market forces coming in and the price is going down and a bigger customer base. My problem with dispensaries has always been that it's an unfair market. It's not a level playing field because you've only got 5% of the people, 5% of your possible market, and the other 95% is black market, and that 95% is going to dictate the prices to the 5%.
I just want to say someone was commenting. I can't read all the chat, but I'm picking up pieces and parts. And someone was commenting about, you know, if you buy your black market marijuana, it probably costs a little less because the dispensaries are testing for chemicals and mm-hmm. whatnot. But, you know, the FDA approves it. You can't really let the market decide the safety of products like that. So that is a point. You definitely buying, hopefully, cleaner product.
Well, I've always, you know, even back in the black market days, I've always encouraged people, you know your grow. Know right. who's growing it, know how they're growing it, you know.
But back in those days, it was scary. You didn't want to know your grow because, you know, I don't want anybody to know I know that guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's the double, again, you know, how prohibition ruins everything.
Right.
All sorts of questions coming up here in the chat room. We'll take another 7 minutes or so. So go ahead.
Okay. Somebody, and you might not be able to answer this question, Russ. I don't know how much information you have about it, but people were asking if you know how Okta is going. I know they have just a few more weeks left to gather those signatures, and do you know how it's going?
Okta has gone all volunteer. The promised funding for it caved, didn't come through. So it's been an all-volunteer effort. I don't know how many signatures they've got. I know they're
I don't think they even know how many signatures they've got.
Yeah, because they've got such a wide...
They're collecting it from everyone.
Well, yeah, what they've done in this one, instead of having one centralized location that's in charge of collecting and coordinating all the signatures, they've kind of mass distributed out to many volunteers all over the state. There's like hundreds of people now.
Yeah, and this isn't, some people think this isn't stoners being, unorganized or anything. This is somebody screwing us on paying.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we have a burgeoning North Coast chapter, and we feel that we hope that we get enough signatures, but we feel that even if we don't, this is an awareness issue. Mm-hmm. It's very important. And at least in our little chapter, we all have a personal goal of collecting 100 signatures for each of our members. So we're going to try to do something like that.
Yeah, and that's the way it's going. It's all distributed, so we don't have a hard number on. We know that there's, over 400 people?
And there will be lots coming in at the last minute, so because of the way that we're doing this.
And it's the same situation with Sensible Washington. They're kind of... I mean, they don't have a lot of signatures right now, but in the past, the medical marijuana initiative in Washington got most of its signatures in the last week.
Right. Yeah. And we should probably tell people only about half of the states in the United States have ballot initiative measures.
Right.
And in these ballot initiative measures, it means anybody can write a bill, and if you get enough signatures, enough voters to say, yes, we would like to vote on this, you can get it passed. What typically happens is people that have a lot of money come in and buy companies that hire signature gatherers. It's very expensive, and you basically are buying money per signature.
Yeah.
So a lot of the ballot initiatives that don't have a huge financial backer, it's really a hard pull to get it off. But, I mean, at least we appreciate that we have that system in place. If you don't, you have to rely on your senators or congressmen to get it passed.
And you can learn more about that at ballotpedia.org, B-A-L-L-O-T, like a ballot. Pedia, like an encyclopedia, PEDIA.org. Ballotpedia's got a search box, and just type in state initiatives. They'll tell you every state where you can do initiatives, where you can do referendums. A referendum's a different thing. This is where the citizens can propose a bill that goes to the legislature, and then there's also others that have constitutional amendment provisions as well. Mostly the states that have initiatives are in the West, and that's why you've seen so much medical marijuana progress in the West. We look over to the East Coast, and the only places that have the initiatives are Maine and Massachusetts and the District of Columbia. So pretty much the whole East Coast, they're beholden to their legislators as to whether or not they're going to get a medical marijuana bill introduced or even heard. Same thing goes for most of the American South. Only Mississippi, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Florida, Missouri, those are some of the states that have the initiative process. But, the rest of them, West Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, that area, no initiative. So it is harder to get laws passed. And that brings it back around to this backlash thing. And I was talking about some of the states that had gone with medical marijuana and started to restrict it. A lot of those states are on the East Coast. And I understand why they have to do those restrictions, because they're trying to get it through a legislature. And the legislatures are far more conservative than the people are when it comes to medical marijuana. So West Coast medical marijuana is a whole different thing than what we've got on the East Coast. Now, we've got about 3 minutes here to wrap up.
I got a couple more questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
These ones are shorter ones, but Profis, you know, on the chat, mm-hmm.
yeah.
and NorCal Kid want to know if they can stay on your couch the first week when they move into Portland.
Okay.
Okay. You guys can.
Yeah, sure.
And Stereotype wants to know if you can play a bass line over the outro.
Okay, we'll pull up the bass over the outro of the show today. Yeah. Sure, what the hell.
Do you have time for a serious question?
Yeah.
There's a
yeah.
really good one. And I'm sorry I didn't note who asked them, but this was great. Someone was asking, other than Leap, what are we doing to reach out to police officers and DEA agents and at least convince them to be neutral as opposed to, or even better would be for us. But yeah. what are we doing to reach out to law enforcement?
Well, at the federal level, it's not possible because it's actually written into the law that they have to oppose any measure to legalize cannabis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Drug Czar's office, the DEA, the federal cops, no chance whatsoever, not even worth our time to try to convince them not to, because by law they have to. At the state or the local level, we have our local normal chapters that oftentimes interface. I know in Philly, Philly Normal interfaced with the district attorney's office and a lot of law enforcement to get that whole custodial sentence thing taken right. care of. So at that level, when they work with normal chapters and activists, that's when they start to realize that we're not the stereotypes that they think we are. And then personally, at a personal level, I talk to cops. When I see a cop, I talk to them. Let them know. It's like Rick Steves said, be the kind of pothead that they can't help but like.
That's right. And you are pretty lovable.
I try to be lovable. All right, everybody. It's been an extra long show for a very happy weekend for the summer for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry. I'm Radical Russ. Normal Show Live will be back next week, every weekday, Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Check out the replays coming up at 3, 5, 7, and 9. You can get the downloads at stash.normal.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. Take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes.